right, welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I'm your handler for this operation, and I'm joined by my friends who are in various states of clothedness and non-clothedness at this time. I'll let you guess who is who, starting with Brad, playing Hank.
Hello, I'm not telling anything.
Right. He's a... Never mind. I'm keeping that. That's an inside thought.
I ain't telling nothing.
And of course, Dace playing Busiek.
Brilliant blue thong.
That's, you know, you can say a lot with very little sometimes.
You doing a crossword?
Oh, shit. Let me put this crossword away. My bad. That's how we play it.
And then, of course, Jean playing Benedict.
Clinker breaker.
Yes. Clinker breaker.
His new favorite word.
It's going to stick in my head for a long time.
The real thing from a coal forge.
Let me read you. This sounds like a skit from Rick and Morty. The clinker breaker fits inside the air blast hole in the fire pot and supports the coke from falling through the air blast hole.
It does kind of sound.
It sounds made up. All right.
Sounds like the wiki. No, clinker breaker is a fun word. I think my my favorite word is probably duodenum. It's a fun word to say.
I like to say it's even more fun. Well. And I say duodenum.
Or do you say aluminium?
Yeah, like everybody else in the world, aluminium.
No, they don't.
That's everybody does. You guys are in denial. It's aluminium.
The three of us don't. 3-1.
Oh, I guess fine.
Right. Well, guys, so now being back into Impossible Landscapes.
So good.
You know, we did Hell Hole. I wanted to let you guys know. I wanted to give you guys a bit of an update. I met with Steve, and me and him are going to start working in earnest on my operation. Cool. And I also have already recruited some people I know here locally. I'm going to run them through an intro scenario to Delta Green, get them acclimated, and then we're going to run them through my homebrew operation.
Ah,
awesome.
Yeah, I want to
beta testing situation.
Control group.
I want to further sanity check. Obviously want to talk about this, but I want to talk about Joe's thing, and then I also want to talk about Dace's homebrew.
Oh yeah.
Experiment as well.
Yeah, we'll chat it up, fellas. Yeah.
Well done. Well done, everybody. We paywalled the content.
Wow.
Excellent. We've done it. We're a real podcast now, guys. Oh, and Wills, get the hell out of here.
What did he say?
He said aluminium. Correct. Say it correctly.
Thank you very much. That is 3-2. Just you wait till I get all my other internet bots into the channel.
We don't count the chat.
Pick them out. Yeah, pick them out.
We don't get... He's gone. In Wills, you're out of here.
Banned. Burma banned for aluminium.
Bet you use the metric system.
Yeah.
Bet you use it.
Okay, I use the metric system too. Okay,
ooh.
So us being back in Impossible Landscapes, guys. How does it feel to, like, you know, to kind of go from... to get back into some characters after a long period of time? Because we kind of mentioned it last time. Like, well, you've gone, like, 2 months... without playing Impossible Landscapes, but you guys have been playing these characters for a long time. I know Busiek has not been played as distinctly as long because, you know, I just to twist the knife, Benji's dead and he's going to stay dead.
Thanks
just,
for that.
Just to make sure you know. But like getting back into these characters after a while, like, is it easy? Is it quick? Is it just like, man, like I just feel like I'm putting on an old pair of house shoes, Jean. Like,
very,
is it?
It's exactly as I described.
Yeah. Well, as we've always known, Hank and Brad are basically indiscernible.
Mm, that's true.
Same person.
Hank is who I'll be when I turn 68. If I make it that far.
It's just, when did the abduction
eats a shit ton of
happen?
Soup.
Has it happened?
Right.
Or is it going to happen?
I don't want to talk about that on air.
It's in the process of it.
Got you. Say
well,
no
Dace,
more.
Dace, you're over at his house right now. Are there some new roommates? Or
Is Dace the roommate?
I can legally say.
Okay.
I'll be the homeless person. When he's 2060. that makes a lot of sense.
Oh god.
Just feed him soup.
Right.
Soup all day.
Well, Jean, you've been playing Benedict for a long time. You know, now, like, it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Two.
Easily.
However long.
Joe, it's worth saying I will be devastated if he does not make it through it. But I'm aware it almost happened.
Well, I think he got pretty close, Les.
Pretty close there. but yeah. It felt really fun and good. I think the thing that got me back into character was remembering, or you guys reminding me about the ridiculous general's coach that he had on. And I was like, oh yeah, no, that's exactly it. You know, tap into that madness.
Oh,
in my
yeah,
own
I
brain.
Forgot that things
I
are
forgot
also
that
quite silly.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and then again, we don't play an entirely serious game. You know, we have some pretty good fun with it. What about, I don't know, what about for Busiak? Like, is it pretty easy to kind of fall right back into Busiak?
No. Well, yeah, yes and no. there was a moment of panic before I had to, like, say something in character. And then once I started speaking, it's like, okay, yeah.
Oh,
this,
I found
this
him.
This feels, this is, I remember this.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, it is hard. And I know specifically for you, Dace, because your process of finding the characters is very much grounded in finding the voice. Like, it's very important to your process. And that's a lot of fun, you know, finding the right voice. You know, me, I'm a man of like three voices, you know, as is evident by the fact that
old lady voice.
Yeah, I have an old lady voice, an old
voice.
Man voice, and I have Louis. And that's about it.
You're doing yourself dirty. That's not true. You got far many more voices than that.
Yeah, but it's like I don't know. It's like I think especially having these characters, and Jean, you talk about, you know, how disappointed you'll be if you don't get to the end. Like, I don't know. Like, do you guys have any like preparatory kind of like, man? Like, what if I never play this character again? Like, after being with him for so long. I know it was like that when Benji died, right? We'd been with him for so long. Him being gone was very sad. But, like, what if they get to the end? Like, what if they win?
Oh, Busiak's gonna win the game. He's a fucking hero.
He's gonna win.
He's gonna beat Delta Green.
I imagine that, you know, that scene in The Matrix with the architect where Neo is talking to the architect? Like, I imagine Busiak goes into that room, but said the architect, it's Delta Green. And Delta Green is right there. That's Delta Green, and Busiak just beats the shit out of it. Just, I win!
Take just, his fire axe off his shoulder and fucking...
Just a silhouette of Joe, but it's, like, filled with Matrix code.
Right. But yeah, I think that,
Yeah, I don't... I am kind of wondering how Hank/me will play the end, or what even is the end type thing.
What is the end? Well, especially in a game like this, right? And we can talk about it, you know, more like when we kind of talk about the overall arching, like when we do our debrief and stuff like that. You know, like this game is meant to be very... I don't know, like not necessarily like M. Night Shyamalan like style. It's a twist. Like,
it's a
not
twist.
Necessarily that. But it's like... It's meant to have all these little things, and it's written very well to give you that feeling of like, oh my god, there were little things that seemed inconsequential early that now I'm finding out meant something, right? And it's written that way very masterfully, in my opinion. Not that there aren't places where you need to bulk things up, and I hope that as you guys have gone through that you've gotten that feel, right?
Don't think I didn't catch your mention of J.C. Lenz in the last recap. That was a very pointed mention.
I have no idea what you're talking about. And you guys should still be carrying around that bottle, by the way.
Are we, though?
No, we smashed it.
I think we smashed it way back.
The Benedict just said, like, it's like we start. It's like, okay, so there you are, guys, at the scribe. Benedict smashes the bottle. That's
what
he
do.
Yeah. Well, listen. Okay, so let's dive back in. So last time, last time, you guys are here in the gallery. A beautiful place that is filled with different works of art from all different times and places, all seeming to have that one thread joining them together, that one theme that, even if it is not obvious, is ever present. Some connection to the King in Yellow. You guys left Hildred, who was in his weird room where he's making all these connections with all these different people, trying to discover who the last king is. And you made your way down towards the scribe. But before you did, you went through a strange room with a mask at the end, waiting, wanting Benedict to come get it. Benedict got spooked, rolled a critical success on a power roll, which is the only reason it went this way, guys.
I think so. That's the only reason he's not
the
dead.
The only reason. You guys, a pumpkin case, good to see you. Benedict goes to go down this and got spooked and starts to head back. And you see that the inside of this chamber is filled not with curtains, but they all kind of coalesce into these figures, these people wearing these dark robes and these pallid masks, saying, "Join us, come back, take the mask," to Benedict. And you guys flee the room, and Benedict kind of comes to this conclusion, like, seems like Benedict, and I think especially for you two, for Hank and for Busiek, to see Benedict like, "No, guys, like, we should stay here. This place rocks." Like, you know, to hear that, like, it's like, uh-oh, Benedict might be losing the plot here a little bit.
It makes sense.
It makes total sense.
I get it.
He gets it. But to see Benedict drawn into this place, it's like, And the thing is keep in mind, Benedict, I think, is now the least sane of all of you. Maybe Hank is a little more not sane. I don't remember which is which, but he seems to be pulled in this place. You guys go, you follow Ambrose into this hall of machines, right? And you see machines of all types, and specifically you guys are spooked by the existence of two specific machines that you guys have seen before. The cherub and what is it called?
The lion.
The lion. That's right. Yep.
Yeah, we can't forget it. We won't.
Which, by the way, is one of the best few episodes we've ever done. Those few episodes with
high
the lion.
Quality, yeah.
Like, hilarious. What a great time. But you guys go in there and you see that there is the scribe. And the scribe begins to... Ambrose repairs the scribe. And you guys, the scribe begins to basically write out things as they're happening, even thoughts that people are having, much like one would write a book or a play. And Ambrose gives the machine a quick slap, "Stop that," you know, and takes the invitation that you have and feeds it into the machine. And it prints out not three, but four invitations. Hank Ellis, Benedict Farthington, Busiek Bartok, Benjamin Potts. They all fall. Ambrose takes the Benjamin Potts one and crumples it up, throws it over his shoulder. And I believe Benedict went and grabbed it. And I think it was Brad, you had said as Hank that it's like the idea that, like, seeing Benji's name kind of like filled Hank with a new sense of hope or something like that. Like, oh.
Maybe. I'm not sure exactly what. Yeah,
I think you're thinking about what I said, what Busiek said about learning that Richard might still be alive. Mm.
Yes, that's right. But Ambrose tells you, it's like, well, this is pretty much where our partnership ends. I want to thank you, and he turns to Benedict. He says, "Well, again, I want to thank you for helping me to finish out that last room. No, I did what I did with that picture, but I'm glad that you were there to help me." And he turns to Busiek, who's still got pieces of mannequin attached to his body. He's like, "Good luck to you, sir."
Yeah, appreciate that.
Scratches the one on his cod piece.
I'm wondering from sort of like a metagame standpoint if there's any way that we can reprogram the lion and the little baby to help us on our quest.
A familiar.
Yeah.
A familiar. No. I've heard what you do to NPCs.
For all that air vent.
You know, that's fair. That's honestly fair.
I know your game. Isn't that right? And the scribe writes out, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you I mean, he turns to Hank. He's like, careful out there, Mr. Ellis. Not everyone's going to be as patient as I am.
Well, I can't say it's been a pleasure, Ambrose. Hank's still like, should I let this guy get out of here?
And he's very much, he's like putting, you know, like his bits and pieces, like in his little tool belt or his like little tool satchel. And he's like, well, and he points off down, further down this gallery of machines. Entrance should be back that way. Not too far to the palace now. Should be more or less straightforward.
Well, thank you, sir.
We kind of take our leave.
Yeah. I have a quick...
Hank's just going to leave him be.
I have a quick calculus question.
Yeah, I mean...
Would you say that if you are imbued with hope, that one's willpower would increase commensurate to suchly hope? Asking for a friend.
God damn it, Sean. It's why is he like this?
Somebody check the bingo box.
Yeah. Who's playing Green Box Gaming Bingo? Check the Sean tries to argue for a random bonus.
And is correct, might I add.
It turns out Steve was right when he made that thing. How about this? Let's take a look real quick. Let's take a look at Benedict Farthington's motivations. Okay.
Uncover the protecting truth. His group, being the center of attention. Collecting keepsakes. Yeah. Damaged veteran. Yeah.
Protecting Why his does group. Benedict have hope now?
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking, like I said, I was asking for a friend who just got imbued with hope. Two friends, actually. One of them found that his possibly dead partner was maybe still alive. The other one felt a sense of hope that Benji was alive from a piece of paper.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to get any
God damn it.
Power back for that. Fair. Good Fine. Try, though. Real cool. Good try.
As we were, so we continue.
Yes, we continue. So you guys are here, and again, and Ambrose goes to walk off. Like he's gonna leave, and so if you guys are letting him leave, he's leaving, and he goes and he turns a corner, and he's gone. So you guys are now here, standing in this gallery of machines. Apparently, you still need to make your way out. Real quick, could everyone make me... Actually, no, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, is that Hank Ellis, with his high alertness. Hank, you hear Ambrose's steps fade into the distance, and you're kind of listening to him as he goes. I imagine Hank is trying to kind of considering whether or not he should kill Ambrose. Because you've made it very clear that Hank like does not like this guy, and thinks... And not that he doesn't like him. But that
You made the equivalent... The comparison to like an arms dealer or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like
he's a maker of weapons that do God knows what.
Of realities that God knows what.
Exactly. You know, and you listen to him kind of walk away. Maybe you're kind of, you guys are watching Hank as he's kind of seething as this guy kind of walks away. It's a small old man. And Hank, you're paying attention as he goes and you hear his footsteps fade. But then you pick up on another pair. You hear some other footsteps. They are the sounds of hard-soled dress shoes on a hard floor.
This guy.
But then you hear another one. And they're not, like, just walking toward you. You just hear them kind of moving in the distance. And again, with your high alertness, because Hank's alertness is pretty damn good, you hear, you maybe just through some of the displays, maybe, Hank, you turn, and right as you turn, you see something light-colored, like a flat mask, dart behind something out of the corner of your eye.
Fellas, let's get out of here. We're being watched. I don't feel safe in this place.
Lead the way, Hank.
Lead the way.
Hank will hurriedly but cautiously go towards the door to try to get out of this music.
Yeah. Yeah, you go and you guys are making your way through, and you're going the way that Ambrose told you, and right as you get towards the end, you see that there is a small display right next to the door on the way out. It's a record player, and it's sitting there on a small pedestal, and there's a record on the player, and as you draw close, there is a mechanical sprung kind of sound, like sounds like something almost breaking, like as you near this thing, and the handle begins to turn, the spring-loaded device begins to run, and right as you guys are leaving, I wish unfortunately our stupid Discord bot is fucked up, otherwise I would play it. You hear the sound of a song that you heard a long time ago.
Sing it.
I'm not gonna sing it.
Yeah, I'm gonna sing it.
You son of a bitch. It's a song that you heard a long time ago, a song called Whatever Happened to Abby. And it begins to play as you guys are kind of hustling out of here. Busiak, you chance a look back, and you see that you guys have all seen V for Vendetta, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know the scene at the end where all the people dressed as Guy Fawkes are all coming across the bridge? Like all the people in the mask with the long robes? You chance a look back, and you see that you can't even see most of the gallery of machines, but now there are so many figures. These cloaked figures all walking behind you, keeping a considerable distance. And they're following you as you guys move.
Guys, we got company.
Okay.
We're not. We've had enough of this place. And Hank will point the gun at the record player and just shoot it.
Oh! Holy shit. Damn it! Hank, I was about to bring that to the king, you bastard. You break all my toys.
You son of a bitch. Hold on real quick. I think I do want to play this. I'm going to play it for the people listening on the stream.
About joking about you guys doing that, but then you're just like, fuck it, I'm doing this.
I mean, Hank's had enough. He let Ambro go, but he's just not going to have this, like, this...
taunting.
Other, like, I don't know what to call it, just like displayed in his face, just taunting him, like,
let Ambro go. Let hold on, I got this. Let Ambro go, get aggro.
Hank, I mean, try I that. Think, well, Hank's mind, he's not just gonna, he doesn't even know if, like, shooting this, like, he's not gonna let loose and shoot into this crowd of whatever they are, but he's just gonna, like, in a sense of defiance. That he's still holding on, that he still has his own fate in his own hand, shoot the
Does
Hank
player.
Care about Abby anymore? Was that an echo of the past?
That's what I'm saying. He's kind of numb. He just like, but he still doesn't like the idea of not having his own fate in his hands.
Almost like a shut the hell up, but except with an M16.
Yeah.
Right. Or a shotgun or whatever he has. Yeah.
M4.
You have an M4? All right, you go and you fire at this thing. You turn, And the first round maybe doesn't just, like, completely destroy it, but I imagine you just, like, squeeze a few rounds in this thing. And just as quick as it stops, just the music stops as this thing just, like, falls apart. And, you know, one of these springs just flies out of it into a weird direction. And as you fire, you see... And I imagine, Busiak, are you just full-on turned back looking at these guys now?
I mean, when I hear gunshots, my head snaps around.
Right. Sure. Well, I mean, like, to the group following you, like to these people in the robes.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You know, when he fires, like, there's a short hesitation, and again, like, it seems like they're keeping a very standard distance from you guys. They only move when you guys move, kind of thing. And you shoot, and there's this murmur amongst them that you can see, and you can, again, they have these masks on, so you can't really see their, you can't see their faces, but you can hear the muffled talk, the oh, he's too far gone. Stay here. Stay with us. And Busiak, I imagine Busiak hates this. this murmuring. He's probably not a big fan, but Benedict...
I love it.
Benedict, there's something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Something about it. You could stay. These guys seem like they have a pretty good setup here. They have all this cool art. You could stay here.
I think he probably feels that tug, but then he looks back at the masked figures, the faceless figures that were chasing him down, and it's probably there's a bit of conflict in that. I don't think it would grip enough to stay.
Yeah, it's like a earworm, like it's just like burrowing its way in your brain. But you, it's like I guess spoilers for the movie Inception. It's like Inception. It's like you know that it's not your thought.
Mm.
You know it's not, so you reject it, like you push it away.
There's also very strong motivations going. He's got two bonds left. One of them is Hank Ellis. The other one is Busiak. And one of his main motivations is protecting his group. So, right. As much as he'd love to stay and drink the Kool-Aid.
I got you. Yeah, I think Hank's not even saying anything. Not to interrupt Sean's thing, but, like, to make clear what, like, Hank... He shoots the thing and kind of gives a pointed look to these figures and just whispers under his breath. He says... walking out the door.
I just keeps going.
Yeah. Oh, and Benedict turns to Busiak. He's like, that was cool as hell, right? That was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking cool. Pretty cool. Like, not gonna lie. A little bit turned on.
You guys head out, and as you...
Do I have a mechanical question?
Going,
did Brad destroy the unnatural? I'm just curious. Was that player?
God damn it.
Was it unnatural?
Man, we can move on. A great lawyer.
We can move on.
Man. You know what, Jean? I'm joking.
Well earned. Well earned.
You gave me a good chuckle. I'm joking. Yeah. Entertained me. Hank Ellis, take one sanity point and remove it from your pile.
Nice.
Joking and a well argued case.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Excellent. Success.
You guys are making your way through.
It should be noted you're encouraging this kind of behavior, as we were.
God damn it, you're right. Busiak -5 sanity.
Okay. I'll do that.
So you go down this, you go out the way, and you see that these cloaked figures, they're keeping this distance, probably about 50 feet, right? You know, of, you know, distance from you guys, but it's kind of constant, you know, and it's almost as if it's like, well, you've seen us now you've seen us, so there's no reason to hide. You guys go down this hallway, and I imagine that you're kind of constantly keeping this look, this eye behind you at this crowd, and you see that there is one of those illuminated exit signs above a door, and you're kind of in hallways again. And there are paintings and things like that, but they're not like distinct galleries. You know, they're like filler pieces, you know, kind of throughout. And you see an exit sign, but as you go through the door, you know, or you go through the doorway into this new hallway, all of the electrical lights are out. And you can see in the light that's spilling in that this hallway looks to have fallen in on itself. Like, it's like the rest of the facility, the rest of the gallery is very nice and well-maintained. A little dusty, but well-maintained. And there's this feeling that maybe there's debris, like, piled up against the windows and stuff outside. But here, it's like suddenly you've entered into a new space that's completely unmaintained and literally fallen in on itself. But to the side, you see a small wooden door that's very out of place for how brilliant and lovely everything is here. Very out of place. And it too, but this one, instead of having a lit exit sign, just has a placard on it that just says in red letters, exit.
So we have two exits?
Just one.
Just one, okay.
Just the one. What?
The Discord.
Excellent. Okay. Okay. Whole party.
Bullshit.
That was
jarring.
For the video audience. not sure what that was.
Hank's like, I guess this is it, fellas.
It's a bit on the nose, isn't it, Hank? The big old exit sign at the end.
Kind of makes me want to roll some sort of a check, possibly a search or like a...
Does Lucyag do it? Look around one last time?
Yeah, well, I'm more focusing on the exit door. Like,
what are you looking for?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I've got D&D brain. Maybe it's not even worth... Okay, this is Delta Green. Let's just fucking go through
just
the door.
Just roll perception and figure out what the door tastes like.
Yeah, roll perception for traps.
Right.
Fuck it, let's just go through.
So at that, I think about Busiak maybe just says, like, let's just go. You know, and Busiak pushes through, right? And Busiak maybe pushes past Hank and opens the door.
Sure, yeah.
It's not what you're expecting. Because you open the door, and in front of you is some type of restaurant? Kind of?
Empty?
And it's like you've... Completely empty.
Arby's?
There is... No, unfortunately. You open the door and it's like you're coming in through the back of a restaurant into, like, there's little tables and it's kind of cozy and a little bit dark.
Sort of like a diner situation.
Kind of, but then a smell hits you, wafts over all of you. And instantaneously, you know what this is. It's the delicious roasted smell of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God damn, could I use a cup of coffee?
And behind the bar is a big espresso machine. And everything's piled up, all the cups are piled up. It's just like in the area where there might be like baked goods is empty and stuff like that. But it's like you've come like through the bathroom, like out of the bathroom door or something of like a little coffee shop. And there's like big plate glass windows. And over in one of the corners, you see on the far side, slightly raised, is a little stage with a bar stool sitting on the middle of it and a microphone. Busiak Bartok. Once a long time ago, back in 1995, you entered this coffee shop. It had been a long day. You've been in the ICU with Gustav. His damn wife stabbing daggers at you. The medical staff being incompetent and shitty. you had to take get some fresh air, and you came down probably countless times to this little coffee shop over the few months that Gustav was there. You know this place like the back of your fucking hand. And here it is. And out on the streets are not the streets outside the hospital, not the streets outside the cafe, but the streets of Carcosa. Clear as day.
Guys, I know this spot. I used to go here.
Hank will do an alertness check to see if there's anyone else here. Success.
There is no one here. You know, it's maybe you peek through. There's not really like a back room. There might be like a storage room or something, you know, but like you can't really tell anyone here. But you do detect something, but not here, not in here, but outside. You see a sudden blue flash outside that maybe, and it's so dim that maybe the others don't really catch it. And you guys have gotten so accustomed to the sound of warfare in Carcosa that the sounds of bombs and distant gunshots is commonplace at this juncture. But that is not the right sound. That pop, not right. That's not a bomb. It's not a grenade. It's not a firearm. But then you see another one. Another flash. This one pink. Followed by a short pop.
Oh, fireworks.
It's fireworks.
A gender party?
It's a gender reveal party.
Well, Hank will like look around. He says, this place seems dead enough. Though there's a smell of coffee, but you know, like look outside at the fireworks. I mean, yeah. Are they going over a particular building or how far away do they look?
In the cinematic version of this, we're looking at Hank Ellis as he approaches the plate glass. We're watching him from outside and we see him approaching, I imagine with his rifle still up, like still like at the ready, and we see Hank Ellis look up and we pull back and back and back and back as we see the huge bulb of the palace right there. And there are fireworks. Bah, 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 bah.
Fellows, you're gonna
like
want to see
going
this.
Off.
That's and like I don't know.
Yeah. Busiak will come up and stand next to Hank.
We're finally here. Aiden.
This is the palace, huh?
Well, I could use a cup of coffee before we go do this.
I think that is a fucking
fantastic
idea.
Why not?
And if I recall, this place has the best potato salad that you'll ever find in the States.
Well, I'm going to serve myself on the coffee. I don't know if you want to handle the potato salad, Busiak. And he's going to go over and start making a coffee.
I was hoping there was like...
Just coffee for
like
me,
in,
thanks.
Containers like in a freezer or something.
You know what? Actually, roll Sandy check for Busiak. That's what I need.
Can't just give it to
we actually have a mechanic for it, guys. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Benedict forgot to mention that he'd love a bazooka. He was just thinking he'd love a bazooka. In a freezer.
I got a success on the potato salad check.
No potato salad, I'm sorry.
What? You motherfucker.
Yep.
It's reverse here.
It's reverse.
I'm genuinely... This is... the first time that I've been genuinely mad on the podcast.
No,
all I wanted for my character
was potato salad.
Like some comfort food before they go into this hellhole of a palace.
No, all you find is kale salad. Like it's one of those
fuck
joints.
Fuck you, I quit.
He's done. So
yeah, I think
you guys... Are you guys literally making a cup of coffee?
Yeah, I think we would have a little rest and a cup of coffee.
Like, regroup. We know it's the end. We know that this is exactly where we had to be.
I think.
We're not in any rush.
Coffee, like, Hank will just try to give, like, not a pep talk per se, but he's like, Benedict, are we still all there? I mean, this is it. We don't know what we're going to run into in this place.
I don't know.
This might be worthless.
I have no idea. Look, I am glad we at least got those invitations. I still feel like we're on this train that we just can't stop, Hank. And I don't know what to make of that. But we just have to ride it out, I guess. But it is good to have a cup of coffee with friends.
Nothing better.
Clink, as clink. The sound of the grinder goes up.
You guys feeling a dark roast, a light roast? What are you thinking?
Dark for me.
Only dark. But yeah. Hank, I don't know, there's no preparing here. I think it's just worth just taking a moment, and who knows what's going to happen next.
I don't know if there's any saving us or anyone else. We find Abigail. I'm going to take her with us, whether she wants to or not.
Benedict takes out the little invitation for Benji and puts it at the table with them while they're drinking coffee.
And Busiak will make a fourth cup of coffee. Sort of like put it next to the invitation.
Man. And all you can think is, like, as you guys are sitting here, Benji would have loved this place. It seems like exactly the kind of place that Benji would have played. And maybe you guys...
And
go ahead.
In fact, he did.
In fact, correct? He did. Yes.
I was thinking that exact guys, thing. Thing.
Maybe you guys even
this
take...
This is where he went in his fugue state, right?
Exactly.
Right.
After he read The King in Yellow. You look over, you know, toward that space, towards that little stage, where at the bar stool sitting on it. You know, there's no bar stool anywhere else in this place. It's just for the stage. You know, and you can imagine all the garbage slam poetry that's been read at the microphone. Like, it's like soaked into the furniture. Like, it's like that. You know, like, you know it's in there. But you also... I don't know, maybe even you can even imagine just in the back of your brain the tickling, just the slightest tickle of a blues guitar being played in this place.
Just the reverb of it, just like somewhere in the distance.
Right, just somewhere in the distance. Yeah. And you know that, and I don't know, maybe in this moment, maybe it's like, I actually don't know. Have you guys ever had even a moment to really even... Have these characters had a moment to actually sit down and mourn Benji?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did that?
No.
I think,
ran from the thing that disintegrated and carried on.
I think it was kind of cathartic, at least for Hank. Like, afterwards... Yeah, not then, but... We found Busiak almost right away, but then we had a second where we could explain to Busiak what all happened, and that was kind of like a coming to terms of what happened, actually explain it to someone else.
Yeah. So you guys take your time. You take your time, you enjoy your coffee, but at some point in time, the coffee's gone.
Is this a rest? I'm not trying to be like McCann, but it seems like it.
Not trying to be a Jean.
Eye roll. Saw an eye roll.
Yeah, click your fucking buttons. Roll your D6s.
I mean,
Take your willpower back.
How much willpower do we get?
D6.
D6.
5. Ooh, I needed that.
4.
5, Jesus.
That's a good cup of coffee.
It's a good cup of coffee. Well, the thing is, and as you guys sit here, time seems to stretch. Like, and it's maybe you guys are in this strangely normal place, right? Despite how you got here, despite the fact that the palace is right outside. Like I imagine, like, you look out and there's, like, buildings on the other side of the street, but looming up behind the buildings on the other side of the street is the palace, right? And this place is normal. It's normal Earth. It's normal America, you know, like a little New York coffee shop, right? It seems so normal. But as you guys are sitting here and consuming your your espresso, you know, or however you take your coffee, you are reminded, you suddenly all come aware, like, we've been sitting here a long time. Like, a long time. Is anybody missing health, by the way?
I'm full.
I am five down.
Five down. Roll a quick constitution check. If you pass it, you get one hit point back. This is a...
Give nice. That's a success.
Benefits of a full rest, you get one back.
Benedict stands
up. Anybody else?
What's up?
Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
I'm gonna... It says, I have to pee.
No. Then he goes back through the way that we came.
Back to the gallery.
No.
You see Benedict open the door and turn as he puts a mask on and a cloak.
Join us. Benedict will like stand up suddenly, feeling amazing, having a new lease on life, extra willpower. He's going to throw the cup against the counter where the coffee machine is. He's aiming for the coffee machine, and he throws his cup at it. He says, let's go. Buziak, you think we can win this thing?
I think we got it in the bag.
It's fucking...
Nothing like a good cup of coffee.
Let's fucking like do this.
Mask on. He'll ask a kind of question.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mask on.
We put the...
Masks on, balls out. Let's go.
We walk out. Everybody has the mask on.
As you guys walk out onto the street, and you hadn't really noticed it until you guys were, like, ready to go, you see that you are not the only people dressed ostentatiously, like, walking down the street. There are women in huge ball gowns and men in flamboyant and ridiculous suits, you know, like, all, like, marching down, and they're, like, they're hand in hand, and they're joking and laughing and speaking in languages that you don't know. Some are familiar, some are unfamiliar. And they are all converging on the palace, all heading down the same way. And I imagine, like, slow-mo, again, cinematic version, you guys all pushing open the door and, like forming up shoulder to shoulder in the middle of the street, walking side by side with weapons and these ridiculous masks, right? And you see people, and like a man like turns and looks at you. He's got like a crazy powdered wig and like the little eye mask over his eyes, and he turns and looks at you and gives you kind of like a nod of approval, like okay, like he's like
does everybody look fancy, or do we see like soldiers, or like
it's
from other
fancy,
walks of life?
It's bizarre, it's everything, but everyone looks to be done up, you know.
It's like Burning Man.
And you
I don't think that's what Burning Man is like, but it might be. I've never been.
In a sense.
Okay. Well, and that's the thing, it's like even some of the people maybe are you know, uncharacteristically lewdly bare, you know, but also decorated and stuff like that. Like, it's everything that you could imagine. You guys go to turn a corner right at this big gas street lamp, and you see sprawling out to your left and your right, going out as far as you can see into the fog, you see a tall wrought iron fence held up by these huge stone separators and a massive steel gate wide open. And standing sentried out in front of the gate are two of these men, two of these tall soldiers, each in this ridiculous high-booted, like a parade style uniform with the shoulder tassels and this like ridiculous red and gold kind of garb, each of them with a revolver on one hip and a like a long halberd held in their arm, and they both have these golden lion masks on their face, and they seem to be checking invitations. Some people they turn away and point curtly to the side, and people hang their heads and go off. And every now and then, they motion toward this huge marble staircase that goes up to these massive, massive doors.
Imagine Hank's kind of nervous, because he's probably not even used to, like, anything like this, even in reality. So he'll kind of, like, awkwardly come up and hand them...
Wait, Hank, hold up. Benedict's gonna pull him back a second. Hank, we've got that...
Is this not...
We're almost there, but why don't we do a deal on the side? We've got a spare prisoner invitation with us. Do you think we can scalp someone? Give them a ticket? Get some...
He threw it away. Or you picked it up.
I picked it up. It's right here. Ian Frederick de Craig, prisoner 125101. You think there's a market for this?
I mean,
Benedict, are you trying to make a buck right now?
Why not?
He's literally standing outside of a basketball game, being like, cheap tickets! Cheap tickets!
I mean...
Okay, you guys think it's stupid. Doing, man? You think it's stupid. Okay. Alright, I just wanted to check.
I mean, we could. What do you want to get out of this set person?
Why don't we just do it for charity, Hank? We don't have to always be bartering. Like, this is... It's like Burning Man.
That's what you said!
You trade.
All right, sure.
Go, give it to that.
Sit back.
Choose one of those poor fellows that was turned away, and why don't you give him, make his day. Make him Ian Frederick de Craig.
You do it. This is your idea.
You have that weird face mask thing on. I can't tell your emotions. You look sad. You look downtrodden, like a sad Kerbal. The giant head.
Like a sad Kerbal.
All right, fine. Snatch it out of his hand.
This
He's
is a
like,
waste of time.
Comes up to a sad lady that's been turned away. Says, "Here, miss. I hope this helps you."
You're giving a sad miss an Ian Frederick de Craig invitation.
Yeah.
Okay. Let the DM note.
You guys see that there is a long line. And that there are people standing in line to get their invitations read. Are you guys going to go all the way to the end of the line? Or...
I don't think so. They're expecting us.
They're expecting you, of course. So you're going to fall into line.
Yeah, IP treatment.
Yeah. Oh, so you're going to go straight to the front. You're just going to go straight to the guys at the front.
Let's go straight to the front. We've got that Disneyland Fast Pass energy.
Yeah, you got
walking with a purpose.
Right. You guys walk up with your invitations out, and people start yelling at you, and you can hear that they're speaking to you in Tartesian. And maybe some of them switch to French, and then they switch to German. And maybe even now you're hearing an English one every now and then, Yeah, like, back of the line, you know, that kind of thing, you know, just like, who are these guys, you know, that kind of thing. But you...
Lusiak draws his pistol.
So you pull your pistol, and one of these men, he's like, whoa, you know, like, he kind of had said something to you in a language you didn't know, like, he was, like, having a problem. You pull your pistol, and he kind of, and he quickly takes off his mask and, like, goes to get out of line. Like, he's afraid of you. But you see now that his cheeks are sunken, like he hasn't eaten in weeks, and his teeth are rotten and terrible looking. His eyes are like dark, and you're now looking at his costume, and it looked kind of like opulent, like a tailcoat, you know, and like a double-breasted jacket. Now you look at it, it's kind of ratty,
man. Trying to make me feel bad.
But as you look at everyone in line, you now see that, like, you can see the places where people's skin is laid bare. You can see that their skin is unwell looking, pale.
So now I'm an asshole.
No, I'm just describing to you the situation, man. I don't know what you're talking about. And you see them. But you very quickly realize it's like, and the other two of you can also see it's like, how long have these people been standing in this line?
Hank will whisper to Boosie, he's like, what are you, some kind of asshole?
Hey, fuck you. You saw the same shit I saw. They look rich as fuck. Now that I know that they're poor, that changes shit.
That changes everything.
Holster my pistol and feel regret and shame.
I feel
one of the guards.
I can hold my emotions.
One of the guards in this golden... And you see that inside the fencing, you see small patrols of two or three guards kind of making the rounds. Maybe now, every now and then, you'll see someone go up and maybe they're going to go, like, try to jump the fence. Like, they kind of go up and, like, grab the fence, like they're going to get up on it, and you hear a quick bark from behind the fence. Like, you know, they get down. You know, it's one of these guards. But one of these guards in this lion mask, he sees this kind of disturbance and he kind of steps up towards you. And he kind of shouts at you in Tartesian first, but then you don't really respond. And he's like he sees that you've got these invitations, and he kind of waves you forward.
Okay, we'll go
To come.
Can we approach?
He gets you to the front of the line, and he takes your invitations, and kind of ridiculously, he holds it up in front of him, because it doesn't have a picture of you on it, but he holds it up. He takes all three of them, and he asks, and he starts speaking, and he starts going through different languages, and eventually he falls on English, and he says, name?
Who's Jack Bartar?
Hank Ellis.
Hank?
Hank Ellis.
He's got this mask on, so you can't tell exactly what's going on, but he's like, he's kind of confused looking at them now. He holds this one out.
Sorry, he's confused. He's Benedict Farthington.
Oh, okay. And he folds them back up and hands them to you and says, enjoy the party, and motions up to the steps. And you can hear this groan that goes out to the people behind you in line. And you realize now that you're actually not sure that you've actually witnessed a single person being let into this place. This whole time you've been standing here. And the guards up at the top of the stairs, there's two of these guards with these masks, and they open these large doors ahead of you. And you guys walk up and enter the palace. And deep, deep inside each of you, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are entering the end. The very end of everything. And that, my friends, it's probably a good place for us to stop.
Nice.
Wow.
Well done.
We fucking made it. We made it.
You made it?
We're in the palace.
You're in the palace.
Wow.
And only good shit can happen from here on out. is what I want to make sure
we're
you
We're going
to
speed run the King in Yellow's palace. We're going to do it like how they play like Mario speed run.
Laser focused.
That describes us.
You're gonna do that thing where you turn backwards and do the jump that makes you go up the stairs really quick.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we are.
Nicely right. Done. Very,
guys,
very cool.
Yeah, well done, Joe.
Guys, thank you. Always a pleasure. I mean, we are. Whew. This is it. This is it, gentlemen.
End game.
Yeah, and I am very excited for where it goes.
Same.
Because it is not. I want to make it very clear right now, right here, right now. I don't know what's going to happen because there are still things that can happen.
Nice.
So
excellent.
We'll see. We will see. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. In Will's Pumpkin Cakes, always great to have you guys here. It has been. Yes, we took some time off because we were doing some recording with some other guys. Pumpkin Cakes, I don't know if you had seen that stuff that we'd put out on the podcast. But, you know, we did some stuff with some other folks with the RPG Reanimators. Great crew. Check them out. They've got a great podcast.
And you can see the videos there if you want as well. If you're doing the Twitch thing, maybe you want the videos in RPG Reanimators channel.
Yeah, over on YouTube is where they've got those. The stuff we've done with them. It's been fantastic. But I'm glad to be back in Possible Landscapes.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's a little bittersweet to know what's happening and to know what's coming. Guys, we will get this done. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready for the end?
Yes.
Yeah, but also no.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, we'll talk about it a little bit on Sandy Check. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you for joining us. We will catch you next time. And remember, as always, stay safe, stay sane. Bye.